You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Hey, it's Brother One
and Brother Two
from Two Brothers Mattress.
Don't miss our huge Memorial Day sale
going on now on all Serta mattresses.
Save up to $500 on Serta mattresses.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
More afternoon news and in-depth coverage with Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
As always, we love to get your texts. We love to get your voice messages. And you can leave those at 801-575-7668. And our text message line, of course, sponsored by our friends at Utah Community Credit Union. It is 575-00. A couple of things that I'd be interested in hearing from you. I don't know if we're, when I looked at the schedule for this week, certainly this is this week wrapping up. Where everything goes right now, I'm not exactly sure. I heard rumblings that there could be more witnesses. I don't know. But it has been interesting. If nothing else, this is an interesting exercise in watching what we all thought, at least when I was younger, would be a very, very rare thing, how an impeachment process of the President of the United States would work. And as I mentioned, when I first started filling in on this daytime segment on a temporary basis, I might add, I pointed out that somehow we made it through, all the way from the inception of this country, from our founding moments. And probably, when we talk about impeachment, we need to, we need to get the Constitution under our belt and President Washington in place. But even if you take this from, the first contested race for the presidency in the United States of America was the race in 1800 between Thomas Jefferson and Adams. And since, let's just run with that because it's a nice even number, 1800 to 1974, we somehow managed all of that time, 174 years, without only one impeachment process, and that did not lead to a conviction by one vote, by the way. In my lifetime now, in my adult lifetime, we've had three. Now, you might argue that the Nixon resignation did not go through the impeachment process. You are absolutely right, but it would have. Had the president not stepped down, it would have gone through the very process that we are seeing here or that we saw in the late 1990s, with President Clinton. So in my adult lifetime, we have had three. I do share the concern that many people have articulated, including Congressman Stewart, that, and we've talked with Rob Bishop about this too, and I believe John Curtis and also Ben McAdams have said, the best place to deal with what you perceive to be a problem in the presidency, unless indeed there really are high crimes and misdemeanors, and it probably ought to be fairly profound, the best place to get rid of a president you don't like is at the ballot box. But here we have three now, and I'm afraid that the impeachment process has been politically weaponized. And I think we're seeing this. We saw it from the shoe was on the different foot in the 1990s. We saw Republicans taking much of the role that we are seeing now from Democrats against President Clinton. And the Democrats were seeing then, now in what we're seeing, the role of the Republicans in defending their guy. And it is almost, the term hypocrisy has come up several times. And honestly, just between you and me and the gatepost, as my grandpa used to say, the hypocrisy here is breathtaking. It truly is. So many of these people, either they are clueless about their history or how their party reacted in the past, or they just absolutely choose to not acknowledge it. I want to play some of the cuts that have come up this morning. And again, I have to tell you, I've been fairly impressed. All except Mr. Sondland, he was, in my opinion, the most marginal person that we have had testify so far. But some of these folks are awfully impressive. I was joking with our team today as we were talking about the program. Dr. Hill, I want you to go back to your days when you had science projects and were doing book reports and so on. I would never want to have my science project next to Dr. Hill's. I would never want to read a paper of mine after Dr. Hill had read hers. I would never want to give a book report after Dr. Hill gave her book report. I think some of these folks are really quite outstanding, if not kind of spectacular, and not only in their knowledge and their brilliance, but their willingness to serve our country. So I don't know. Some of these folks, I would not want to be on the other side of questioning them if in any way, shape, or form you were questioning their integrity or questioning their abilities. I wanted to play a few bites, and we'll play some more coming up as the program goes forward. But this is Dr. Fiona Hill, and boy, she took on some of the people on the committee, and in this case, this time, last time, it would have been Democrats back in the 90s. This time, you know, she took on some of the Republicans for continuing to basically give credence to a fictional Ukraine narrative.
Some of you on this committee appear to believe that Russia and its security services did not conduct a campaign against our country, and that perhaps, somehow, for some reason, Ukraine did. This is a fictional narrative that has been perpetrated and propagated by the Russian security services themselves. The unfortunate truth is that Russia was the foreign power that systematically attacked our democratic institutions in 2016. In the course of this investigation, I would ask that you please not promote politically driven falsehoods that so clearly advance Russian interests.
And it was interesting.
As Republicans and Democrats have agreed for decades, Ukraine is a valued partner of the United States, and it plays an important role in our national security.
Yeah, sorry to jump in there on Dr. Hill, but it was interesting. And then right after, it was one of the committee members from Texas who just kind of, hey, I don't care, damn the torpedoes. It was Representative Chip Roy who just went on and he said, I do think there is ample evidence of Ukraine having engagement and involvement in things regarding the 2016 election. He said, yeah, and you kind of go, wow, okay. I guess he's either a true believer or maybe has some other motivations. But it was an interesting response after that kind of, honestly, a chastisement from Fiona Hill, who basically said, I'm sorry, but you don't know what you're talking about and you're doing damage. Then Fiona Hill went on to discuss the exiting, let's put it that way, of Ambassador Yovanovitch and talked about how it's the right of the president to fire and replace, but why smear?
Were you encouraged as of your last day in the office that U.S. policy towards the Ukraine was headed in the right direction?
I was not.
And why was that?
Well, I was concerned about two things in particular. One was, again, the removal of our ambassador. And again, I will say for the record that the president has a perfect right to remove any ambassador at any time for any reason. But I was very concerned about the circumstances in which her reputation mm-hmm. had been maligned repeatedly mm-hmm. on television and in all kinds of exchanges. I felt that that was completely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. If the president wanted to remove an ambassador, which he did quite frequently, there was a number of ambassadors removed who were not political but career officials. That was done, but without these kinds of interventions. Mm-hmm. I wondered what that message was being sent. So there was that.
It is interesting, and we'll take a break here, but sadly, that's kind of the environment we are in today, where it isn't just enough to disagree with somebody. You have to just smear them. You have to call them names. You have to label them as lying somebody or small whatever or little whatever. And it really is remarkable. If you don't want somebody in that position and you have the full power to fire and replace, do it. But do you have to malign? Call people names, smear people. It's a sad statement on where we are today. All right, we're at the top of the hour. Let's take a brief break, and when we come back, we've got more in store for you. And I have to admit, I'm more than a little mildly curious about these luncheons that the president is having with some key Republicans. And I think he's bringing them in probably over a period of time. He'll talk with all of them. But today it happened to be Mitt Romney.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More afternoon news and in-depth coverage with Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
I appreciate you being with us today here at KSL News Radio. There's so many things to talk about, and we've tried to pay attention and at some points even highlight things that are going on back in Washington regarding the impeachment proceedings. But there are so many other issues to talk about. And boy, there's something, and momentarily we'll deal with this with a friend and colleague from ABC News. Jordana Miller will be joining us, and the Israeli Prime Minister, who has not been able to really cobble together a government yet, is facing some serious corruption charges himself. This is Prime Minister Netanyahu, and his reaction and defense is very similar to what we are hearing back here at home, where blame is being put and things that are being said. And so we'll be talking with ABC about that. But I wanted to share some more of what unfolded, and it continues to unfold right now. The two people testifying today are Dr. Hill and Mr. Holmes, and we'll tell you more about them coming up in just a few moments. But we highlighted some of the things that Fiona Hill had mentioned. And first of all, there was the rebuking of Republicans for continuing to give steam and put a fire under what she described as the fictional Ukraine narrative that they, not the Russians, were behind the meddling in the 2016 election. The other thing that is ominous, and we've heard this not only in her testimony, but in other testimony, is that the Russians are gearing up once again for perhaps even more interference. And remember, you know, the Russian interference, it's important to understand this. Why are they doing it? Maybe not even because they believe they can change election results, although that's a frightening thought. Most of us believe, most people talk about just undermining the credibility in so many things that are so important to our democracy, so many things that we hold dear and even sacred. If you can just undercut the confidence in it, you've won. Regardless of who you wanted to see be president of the United States, and I believe Russia is an equal opportunity. They don't care if they are maligning Hillary Clinton, maligning Donald Trump, maligning whomever, fill in the blank. The goal isn't necessarily to get one president over another candidate, but the goal is to undermine the very underpinnings of our democracy. That's why this is so important. Honestly, I don't think the Russians may be above, yeah, well, you know, he might be better, or no, she might be better, other than that kind of thing. The goal is to undermine our belief in our system and to damage its credibility around the world. So that is deeply concerning. I wanted to play a little more sound that we gleaned from this morning. These would be kind of the greatest hits or the highlights of the testimony that came this morning. And it was David Holmes who quotes Ambassador Sondland telling, you know, that President Zelensky, that Trump, well, actually telling the president, President Trump, that President Zelensky, well, I'll let the words tell the story here.
I heard Ambassador Sondland greet the president and explain he was calling from Kyiv. I heard President Trump then clarify that Ambassador Sondland was in Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland replied, yes, he was in Ukraine, and went on to state that President Zelensky, quote, loves your ass. I then heard President Trump ask, so he's going to do the investigation. Ambassador Sondland replied that he's going to do it, adding that President Zelensky will do anything you ask him to do.
A rather unfortunate thing to hear, and also to realize that that was the communications back and forth. And you might recall that Sondland yesterday laughed about that, that, yeah, when he communicated with the President of the United States, and believe me, I know, this is nothing exclusive to President Trump and others. This has been going on a long, long time. We heard it back on the Nixon tapes. We knew with LBJ how saucy and spicy his language could be. But, oh, my goodness, you know, sometimes you hear this stuff and you go, wow. But above and beyond just the words used, it was the meaning of those words that, yeah, basically, this guy loves you. He'll do anything. And maybe a better term is that this guy knows he has to love you, and he will do anything that you say. And then David Holmes recounted asking Ambassador Sondland about what Trump thought of Ukraine. And this is particularly troubling.
After the call ended, Ambassador Sondland remarked that the president was in a bad mood, as Ambassador Sondland stated it was often the case early in the morning. I then took the opportunity to ask Ambassador Sondland for his candid impression of the president's views on Ukraine. In particular, I asked Ambassador Sondland if it was true that the president did not give a expletive about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland agreed that the president did not give an expletive about Ukraine. I asked why not. And Ambassador Sondland stated that the president only cares about big stuff. I noted there was big stuff going on in Ukraine, like a war with Russia. And Ambassador Sondland replied that he meant big stuff that benefits the president, like the Biden investigation that Mr. Giuliani was pushing.
Wow. You know, the big stuff, again, let's just assume for a moment that that was indeed the spirit of the conversation. That indeed was the president's intent. Wow, that basically personal concerns about who might be a future political adversary, and actually is at this point, was even at that time, and that somehow is bigger than a little minor detail like the fact that Ukraine is under open assault from Russia. And then also, we played this a little earlier where Fiona Hill, Dr. Hill, discussed how disconcerting it was. While acknowledging, yes, the president has the absolute right to fire and hire ambassadors, and in many cases, of course, with the advice and consent on the hiring of the United States Senate, as prescribed by the Constitution, but that these individuals serve at the pleasure of the president. There is no doubt about that. There is no question about that. If Mr. Trump, President Trump, didn't like this woman, fire her. But why the need to mount a smear campaign, discredit this person? And David Holmes responded to kind of the same question.
Were you encouraged as of your last day in the office that U.S. policy towards the Ukraine was headed in the right direction?
I was not.
And why was that?
Well, I was concerned about two things in particular. One was, again, the removal of our ambassador. And again, I will say for the record that the president has a perfect right to remove any ambassador at any time for any reason. But I was very concerned about the circumstances in which her reputation had been maligned repeatedly on television and in all kinds of exchanges. I felt that that was completely unnecessary. If the president wanted to remove an ambassador, which he did quite frequently, there was a number of ambassadors removed who were not political but career officials. That was done, but without these kinds of interventions. I wondered what that message was being sent. So there was that.
Obviously, that was not David Holmes. That was Fiona Hill addressing the same question, but David Holmes did have these comments.
Can you talk about the character, integrity, and performance of Ambassador Yovanovitch, both in Ukraine?
Yes, ma'am. She was extremely professional, respected in Ukraine by Ukrainians, I think also by visiting American senior officials, including members of this committee and of Congress who came to visit. She extremely dedicated, hardworking,
Did you see it as a smear campaign as well?
I did, yes.
And what was the effect that it had on the morale of other professionals that you worked with in the Ukraine?
It was a very confusing time. As I've said before, president has the right to remove an ambassador for any or no reason at all. It was not clear to us why this was happening or why people weren't standing up for her.
It is really unfortunate that somehow, rather than recognizing or accepting or choosing, that you actually have the absolute power to fire this person, to move this person to another post. You have, as president of the United States, that authority, and nobody questions it. And why a smear campaign? To undermine the person? And it not only hurt this ambassador, but it baffled people in Ukraine, going, what's going on? And people in the department, and apparently Mr. Trump and some others in the immediate circle were the only ones that felt that, or at least in the smear campaign, portrayed her to be inefficient, trouble wherever she goes, and this type of thing. The only voice that has articulated that is the voice of the president and those that apparently had the mission to undermine her, which is really, really unfortunate. All right, let's take just a brief break. We're trying to keep you up to date on some of the things that have been unfolding, and this morning was a little more in-depth than I think some observers thought it would be. A lot of conversations still going on back in Washington, D.C., and what's unfolding with Prime Minister Netanyahu, that's coming up next.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The afternoon insights and analysis continue. Here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
Each and every day we have done this, and again, it's not for any particular reason to highlight our 2nd District Congressman Chris Stewart. He just happens to be the only person in our federal delegation, our House delegation back there. Out of the four, he is the one on the House Intelligence Committee. And so we, and every day, just as we are launching the afternoon segment here, that is when Chris Stewart is usually asking his questions. So, and I have not heard this, just as was the case yesterday. I have not heard what Chris Stewart had to say, and of course the questions that he is going to ask, although I'm being told by those who retrieved this for us, so we can play it for you now. Apparently, well, I'll leave it up to you. Did he or did he not ask a question here? So this is the 5 minutes that our 2nd District Congressman had before the witnesses, the opportunity to talk and ask questions of the witnesses. This is our 2nd District Congressman.
Dr. Hill, Ms. Holmes, thank you for being here. I actually have no questions for you that haven't already been asked or made any points that haven't already been made. And I guess I'll just conclude by something I've said before. This Impeachapalooza tour finally comes to an end. I mean, a year of resistance, 2.5 years of these absurd accusations against the president of Russian collusion. We've gone from quid pro quo to bribery to extortion, 7 weeks of hearings, 16 secret closed-door sessions, 12 public hearings now, of which you are the last. Hundreds of hours of testimony. And I really think that for those who hate the president, they haven't changed their minds. But there's a lot of Americans who look at this and they think, is that it, really? You're going to impeach and remove a president for this. Now, like I said, if you don't like the president, you've already come to that conclusion. Many people wanted this 3 years ago. But for a lot of Americans, they really look at that, and they can see this. No evidence, zero evidence of any bribery, zero evidence of extortion, zero evidence firsthand of any quid pro quo. And yet, impeachment is almost inevitable. And why? Because the leadership of this committee has been unfair and dishonest. And I know we hear these crocodile tears from some of my colleagues who are heartbroken because they finally have to impeach this president. And we know that's absurd. There's no heartbroken. There's no prayerful tears over this. They're giddy over this. And there's not a person in the country who doesn't know that. Everyone knows what they're going to do next. They're going to impeach the president and they're going to send it on to the Senate. But that is the good news. That's good news. You know, we've all been to a concert. You got the warm-up band, and then you got the main act. And what we've seen here is the warm-up band. This is kind of like the Sioux City Crooners. This is a band that no one's ever heard of. But the warm-up band is over, and now we're going to go on to the main event, and that's in the U.S. Senate. And in the U.S. Senate, there won't be any secret testimony. There's not going to be dishonest leadership or a chairman who refuses to let us ask appropriate questions or to deny a defense. Where in the world, where in the country do you have a trial where the prosecution presents their case and the defense isn't able to? So we'll finally be able to get to the truth. So I'm talking now to my colleagues in the Senate. These are some of the witnesses that you need to call, and these are some of the questions that you need to ask. First, you have to hear from the whistleblower. Now, they can choose to do that in closed session if they want to. I leave that up to them. But you can't initiate an impeachment of the President of the United States and not have to answer some questions. Who did he get his information from? Did he have the classification and the clearances to get that information? What's his relationship with Vice President Biden? Who has he shared that information with, including some members of the committee here? I think our own chairman needs to be called. What interactions did he or his staff have with the whistleblower? Did they help to coordinate or in any way facilitate the complaint? Did they coordinate and facilitate him counsel? What about Hunter Biden? How did he get his job? What did he do to earn his salary? And here's the key to this. Look, if he goes there and makes money, knock yourself out. I don't care. But I want to know, did he have officials with or conversations with government officials, and was government policy changed at a particularly high level because of some of those? Devin Archer, former board member from BRISMA. Alexandria Chalupa, former DNC official who admitted she provided anti-Trump information to the DNC and to Hillary Clinton. Nellie Orr from Fusion GPS, who helped to create the ridiculous Steele dossier. I'd like to remind us what I said yesterday. The American people expect a lot in politics. They understand the tussle, the fight, the debate, but they also expect basic fairness. And these proceedings have been anything but fair. The Senate has an opportunity to fix that. I am confident they will. And I look forward to them completing the job that we could have done here. And with that, I will yield back.
Okay, that's our 2nd District Congressman, and that is the first time I've heard it. And there were some things that obviously caught my attention. First of all, he fessed up at the very beginning. He wasn't, you know, there was no question he could ask or something that hadn't already been dealt with. And then he continued to use his allotted time. I'm not sure if he used every second of it or not, to basically make the case as to why this had been, you know, an effort in futility, that definitely the Democrats were going to vote for impeachment. I tend to agree with him, by the way, on that. And then he talked about the crocodile tears, those who seemed to harbor some regret that that is what now ultimately they have to do. I'm not sure if every tear back there is a crocodile tear, but I suspect he's right. Some of them are. But then he said something really interesting, and I'd really like to get your response to this. And we have a few more minutes to do this. We'll take a break here in a second and we'll come back. But he said, and remember, he's the one over the weekend too on the Talking Head programs. He made an appearance or two, and he said the American people, he was confident being our 2nd District Congressman, that now that the American people were actually seeing the process, that the case against the president was crumbling and that the American people were seeing that. And boy, we had quite an outcry on that when we talked about that earlier in the week. And it wasn't even close to being 50-50. It was more, and we didn't keep any kind of accurate record on the number of people who said, are you kidding me, versus the person, the people that said, yeah, no, I agree with him. But it had to be at least 2-1. 2-1 saying, are you kidding me? I'm more concerned now than I was before. So kind of in that same vein, and you heard Congressman Stewart say that the American people now, after seeing all of the, and again, he used the very unfortunate term, I almost feel as a friend of Chris, I had to call and say, Chris, don't use the term impeachapalooza again. That is not cool. But he used it again. And now that we have seen all of this and gone through all of this, that the American people collectively, save only the, what, never Trumpers? I don't know. I don't think he used that term. But most of us who kept an open mind are now saying, is that it? Really? I want to know, are you saying? I'm not. I still don't know. I don't have the expertise at this point to determine whether something absolutely is impeachable or not, and especially with some of the ambiguity and the fluidity of what is impeachable. But I am more concerned now than I was before. And again, I don't know if this is impeachable or not. That's not in my wheelhouse. But as an American citizen who already had concerns, I am more concerned today than I was when the open hearings started. So I'm just going to ask you the straight-up question again. Do you or do you not agree with Congressman Stewart that now that we've seen this, you know, impeachapalooza, that we're all scratching our heads and just wagging our heads saying, is that it? Really? I'd love to hear from you on the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line, which is 57500. You can also leave us a voice message at 801-575-7668. We'll come back. We'll share some of the messages. We already have a voicemail or two all ready to go. So stay with us here at KSL.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The afternoon insights and analysis continue. Here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
Okay, I have opened a floodgate here, and I did it so late in the program, but I hadn't heard what Congressman Stewart said. So we're just going to wade right into this. And I asked, Congressman Stewart did not ask a single question, and he said he was not going to. But he said that right now, after seeing all of this, hearing all of this, that now the American people that hadn't already made up their mind President Trump needed to be impeached, were shaking their heads and saying, is that it? Really? Well, I'm not one of them. This texter said, I strongly disagree with Congressman Stewart. I think he's not taking seriously a serious function of Congress, even if you disagree. I want to hear from those with firsthand knowledge. Why aren't the Republicans insisting that the White House send their people to speak? This person said, I agree with Congressman Stewart. This texter also said, I agree with Chris Stewart, that this whole thing was a joke. Congress needs to get real work done. This texter said, I don't lean either way at the moment, not my wheelhouse, but I am mystified and concerned why we have some of the politicians we do on both sides. Another person saying they agree with Representative Stewart. This person said, "I agree with you, Doug. I am more concerned now than I was before all of this started." Another texter, "I'm 100% with the congressman." This person simply said, "more concerned." Another texter, "Congressman Chris Stewart believes the American public are stupid. Goodness. Chris Stewart is an embarrassment," said another texter. This person very succinctly just said, "took two Tylenol around 2:30. Now this one, I can't resist. "You are such a puppet, Doug. Sorry, never mind. You are such a puppet, Doug. Obama fired every foreign ambassador in 2008. It's how John Huntsman got his China job. We have hearings over Trump firing one." Well, first of all, you need to fact check that, because the fact checkers have said, no, it is not true that President Obama fired all of Bush's politically appointed ambassadors. And you can really go into the weeds here, those that are career diplomats, those that are political appointees. But again, I would encourage our kind texter there to do a little fact checking on that. I do have to, this tweet just killed me, and it was over Mr. Holmes saying that he heard when Ambassador Sondland took the phone call from President Trump. They were sitting right across the table from each other and in a restaurant. They were out on the terrace. And at first, Sondland winced a little bit because the president's voice was so loud, held the phone away from his ear just a little bit. And that's what Holmes said. That's when he heard certain things. The president tweeted, "I've been watching people make phone calls my entire life. My hearing is and has been great. Never have I been watching a person making a call which was not on speakerphone and have been able to hear or understand a conversation. I've even tried, but to no avail. Try it live." Well, several of the individuals on TV today tried it and held the phone, and their colleagues sitting across or next to them could hear. I've had that experience when my mom calls me and I'm in the phone with Dee can clearly hear the conversation in the next seat. So, wow, President Trump, I have not had the same experience. We have a couple of voicemails that I wanted to share. And this one asked an interesting question. What if there was no quid pro quo?
Let's say that all of this had taken place, that Trump had requested investigations, but there was no hint of a quid pro quo. There was no money in the balance or anything. But President Trump was asking about having a rival investigated regardless. Does the president have to sit back and not investigate such an issue because it's his political rival? I mean, if at any point in time, if he says, "I want somebody to investigate this person," with his power, does that not generate an off-balance situation?
Interesting question. The quid pro quo just makes it worse and perhaps more impeachable. But for the leader of the free world, the president of the United States of America, the commander-in-chief of our armed forces, to ask a favor, and that was Mr. Trump's term, "I have a favor to ask of you. And let's just discount any quid pro quo or anything else. Would you, by the way, investigate, you know, the Bidens and this particular company?" It is absolutely inappropriate. Is it inappropriate to investigate things like that? No. If the president had concerns, there are proper channels, the Department of Justice. There are avenues through which you do things like that. But especially when somebody appears to be a potential, if not real, political rival for the president of the United States in the course of a diplomatic conversation, however you want to frame that, to say, "Oh, by the way, I need a favor." Absolutely inappropriate. The quid pro quo just makes it worse. This person talked about people just questioning people who just did their job.
It's been amazing to see Devin Nunes, Jim Jordan, and our own Chris Stewart just embarrassing themselves and America, impugning and deriding these civil servants that have just done their job in order to protect this indefensible president. It's amazing.
And I appreciate the texts, and I also appreciate, of course, all of the voicemails that have come in. It's been an interesting conversation, and As Hank Williams said, nobody gets out of this world alive, and apparently nobody gets out of here without criticism. I'm receiving my fair share of it right now from some of the texters. This texter said, I'm more concerned, exclamation point. And then this person said, Doug, it's a pig fight. No one will win. This individual said, I agree with Representative Stewart. I want to know why we aren't investigating the Bidens. And there may be a real reason to do that, but it's not for the President of the United States to ask that on a political call. But that's just my opinion. We have much more coming up tomorrow, by the way. Warning, movie show, 9 to noon at KSL News Radio. Stay with us.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.